I'm trying to think who it is. I've read so many different people lately, it's hard for me to keep track of, but somebody actually came out and said, in the worst case situation, if the Strait of Hormuz is closed for 4 to 6 months, we can be talking about 1 billion people dying. That's how
Oh, God.
catastrophic the potential is. I'm not predicting it's going to happen. That's the potential. We need to end this war. We need to end it in a rational way. We need to get off the back of Iran, and we need to recognize the new world order just changed, and America's position in that new world order is not what they had planned on.
Bob Moriarty, 3-2-1 gold. Good evening to you, my friend. How are you?
I think I'm okay.
Think you're okay. Well, you look good.
Well, if you ask me in 20 minutes, I may have a different answer for you.
Yeah. Well, you said briefly off camera, well, I'll let you say the quote. But you said, yeah, things are changing. You paraphrase, things change so quick and so fast. Let's just start from there. What's changing? What's changing so fast in the moment, and where are we at with everything, as far as the war is concerned, and just really everything? Either it seems like it's falling apart or it's not, and yet we still have high gas and oil prices.
Yeah, now it's four questions.
Yeah, well, pick one.
Okay. Well, first of all, I've got to throw my comment because it was such a great comment. I really thought it was brilliant. If you're not confused, it means you're not paying attention.
Yep.
But let's talk about the global point. There are three major points of view and three or four minor points of view. You have the point of view of Israel that wants to destroy Iran. You've got the point of view of the United States that Donald Trump has somehow allowed himself to be dragged into fighting a war for Israel. This isn't America's war, okay? This is Israel's war. And because Donald Trump insists on being the bride at every wedding and the stiff at every funeral, he's turned it into America's war. But it's not America's war, it's Israel's war. And Israel pretty much determines 90% of what's going to happen. So you've got Israel's point of view. You've got the United States' point of view. You've got Iran's point of view. They understand Israel wants to destroy them and turn them into a failed state like Somalia and Sudan and Libya and Gaza and the West Bank and Syria and Lebanon. They're saying, no, we don't want any part of that. But they're a country of 92, very intelligent, cosmopolitan, nice people. And they said, we're prepared to defend ourselves. So you've got conflicting points of view. The United States and Israel don't agree on everything. The United States and Israel don't agree with Iran on anything. And then you've got the minor players, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Oman, UAE. They're involved, but they don't get to make the decisions. Now, there's some incredible things that have happened that could result in a good solution. Jordan, okay, who is a minor player, it's Muslim, but it is the closest physically to Israel. Jordan has said, we're thinking about doing something with Iran. And Saudi Arabia and the UAE have indicated they may close their airspace to Israel and to the United States. And those would be giant impact issues. My belief is Iran has won the war so far. They're going to win the war in spite of Israel threatening to use nuclear weapons. They've done enormous damage to Israel. They've done enormous damage to production facilities in the six GCC countries. And they have said if our production facilities are attacked, we will attack their production facilities. If they did that, we would go from 20% of the world's oil being impacted to 50% of the world's oil being impacted in a global depression with deaths in the hundreds of millions of people. Now, those are things that could happen. In intelligence work, there's two issues you have to think about. One is, what are the intentions of the enemy? And the other is, what is the capability of the enemy? Now, because Iran has the capability of taking out Saudi Arabia's east-west pipeline, totally destroying Qatar, totally destroying the UAE, totally destroying Kuwait, that's their capability. And they've said, if we are attacked, that's exactly what we're going to do. So you've got Israel, there's no question behind the scenes, they're pushing the United States very hard for a renewed attack. Now, I think you and I have talked about this before. I've been to Iran. It is the most mountainous country I have ever seen. The reason the Persian Empire lasted for 2,500 years is it's very hard to invade Persia or Iran. When Persia was defeated, which they were in some battles, it was because they were in Iraq or they were in other areas than Iran itself. You cannot invade Iran from a ground attack point of view. It's just not possible. The air attack has been a total waste of time. The use of the US Navy has been a total waste of time. The blockade has giant holes like a colander. So everything Israel and the United States have done, they killed a lot of people, but they haven't accomplished any of their goals. So the question is now, what does Donald Trump do? I'm seeing he wants to pull back. He wants to exit. Do you know fish can dance?
Okay, tell me how they dance.
Have you ever fished before?
Many times, yes.
Okay, next time you go fishing, you catch a fish, you put it in the bucket, you get him nice and happy in the area, you pick him up, put him on the ground, and he'll dance.
Yeah, I'll flop around. Yeah.
They do it for about 2 minutes. They're not very good dancers, but they are dancers.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump is doing his fish dance.
So he's flopping around. Just,
Really?
well, that's what I want to know.
Yeah, of course. Okay. It's Donald Trump we're talking about. I mean, today's Wednesday. There have been three changes since Monday.
Right. And that's what's really weird. Well, I don't want to say weird, but that's been really par for the course in the last 60 plus days with this conflict, right? It's always changed. It's always flopping around. And that's, I think,
Right.
your point, right?
Right.
So that's really, I mean, that's really it. What's the exit strategy here? What's the plan?
Well, strange enough, and that's a good point. I should have actually made a point there. Iran is not going to allow itself to be destroyed. Iran has the ability to destroy Israel by either taking out their offshore gas facilities that provides energy to the five desalination plants or take out the five desalination plants. They can reduce the water, drinking water to Israel by 80% and it would take 30 minutes to do. They have the capability, no question whatsoever, to be really easy to do. They have hesitated in doing that because they're fighting an honorable war. They're not fighting to destroy Israel. They're fighting to protect Iran. And frankly, I think that's a good thing. The ideal solution would be if Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Kuwait and UAE and Qatar got together and said, look, we made an agreement back in 1973 that we would go to the petrodollar and we would reinvest all of our oil sales that were made in US dollars into US treasuries in
Right.
exchange for a security blanket. And there has been no security blanket that was effective. And we've made enemies out of somebody who should be a good neighbor. Now, from a strictly pragmatic point of view, I was questioning why Jordan, who has been more pro-Israel than anybody, all of a sudden was talking a neutral position. And somebody pointed out there's a lot of Shia Muslims in Jordan, okay, because these were the refugees from Palestine. Same thing's true of Saudi Arabia. Many of the Muslims in the east of the country are Shia Muslims, and they naturally favor Iran. From a strictly self-interest point of view, it would be in Saudi Arabia's self-interest, and Kuwait's self-interest, and Qatar's self-interest, and UAE's self-interest, Jordan's self-interest, to go to the United States and say, look, guys, you made a promise. You didn't fulfill the promise. Thanks very much. It was fun doing business with you, but we're going to do business with the Iranians now. Some things, and you can argue both sides of the issue, should Iran have the right to charge tolls in the Strait of Hormuz? And there's two sides to it. And there's one side that's perfectly valid saying, wait, that's an international waterway. Okay. You can't charge toll. The other side is, yeah, but they've got the missiles and they can protect it. So, yes, maybe they do have the right. The Suez Canal charges tolls, the Panama Canal charges toll, the St. Lawrence Seaway charges tolls. So there's a definite issue there. That may be a reasonable position to take. Iran has had 40 years of sanctions by the United States and the world because they dared to spit in the face of the Americans. Okay. We overthrew their democratically elected government in 1953, and every Iranian knows that. And then after the revolution, 1979, and the Shah got booted out of the country, the religious mullahs took over, and the United States said, oh, we can't have countries being independent. You're under our control. So Iran has had enormous damage in the last 40 years, and they would like to recover from that. Frankly, I think that's a reasonable assumption to make. The United States is fighting a war for Israel, and it's not America's war. We stand to gain nothing. And the fact is, the United States would be far better off if we took all of our troops, all of our airplanes, all of our bases out of the Middle East and brought them home.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree more with what you just said, 100%. But we still have this international problem here, and now it looks like Trump was with Xi over in China, and I think they cut a deal. What is your opinion on that? Cut a deal for oil, or just opening up the Straits of Hormuz, or I should say, providing security for oil tankers? I'm thinking to go to China. I think a deal was cut. I mean, what are
You
your
ever
thoughts on that?
played poker?
Yeah.
Okay. How many cards did Trump have?
How many cards does he have?
No. How many, when he went, sat down with Xi, how many cards did he have in his hand?
I'm assuming not a whole lot, not very many, not five like you're supposed to.
None.
Yeah.
How many did she have?
All five?
He had a whole deck.
Yeah.
What did Iran have?
I don't know how, I don't know.
A straight.
A straight. So Iran and China win.
And Russia.
And Russia. Work that out for me. How does Russia benefit from the opening of the strait?
Well, see, you haven't been paying attention for the last 3 minutes. No, things change. I mean, you can't assume that what was true 20 minutes ago is true now. The State Department has released the sanctions on the Russian selling oil. So Russia's selling oil like crazy. China only imports a
Right.
very small amount of their oil. Okay, it's not really critical for them. They can take oil from Russia too. And certainly Iran has enormous power now. The whole world has to admit, wait a minute, there's this tiny country in the Middle East that really has a big impact on the entire world, and that's Iran. My opinion, and you gave me your opinion and what you thought had happened. My opinion is Donald Trump came out of the meeting with Xi, and he flew back to Washington, D.C. Did you read his T-shirt?
No.
He said, I went to China. All I came back with is this cheap Chinese T-shirt.
Right. He came back with nothing.
No, he came back with a T-shirt.
Came back with a t-shirt. Interesting.
He didn't win anything, and there were some very subtle fuck yous, both from China and from the United States. When Donald Trump got off the airplane, okay, he goes out and he looks over the crowd. Who is he expecting to see?
Roaring people, supporters,
Now he
roaring
was
people.
expecting to see she,
Right. And he wasn't
but
there.
he didn't. He wasn't there.
Yeah,
Okay, which
that's a
kind of
big
a
F you.
fuck you to the United States. But
Yeah.
what did the United States do? Okay, now let's pretend there were 100 people on the airplane with Donald Trump. They all came up to the base of the stairs, and they all did exactly the same thing, which was kind of an unusual thing to do. Were you aware of what that was?
No.
There was a big dumpster, and they took all of the gifts they had been given by the Chinese, and they threw them in the dumpster.
Is that, did that happen?
Yes, it did.
Gosh.
Now, do you speak any Chinese?
No.
Okay. Would you like me to teach you some Chinese?
Sure.
Okay. What Donald Trump did by ordering people to throw away all our presents in Chinese is pronounced fuck you.
Right. Wow. So that has really, this has really spilled over into really Asia, China. This is now a big problem there now, meaning this has ramifications with really Taiwan, right? Trade, because we import so much stuff from China. I mean,
No, it's actually worse than that. There's one thing we haven't talked about.
what's that?
The Strait of Hormuz is effectively closed. I'm not going to say it's totally closed because somebody will point out with great accuracy it isn't totally closed. There are some ships going through, but from an effective point of view, the Strait of Hormuz is closed. Now, given the situation today and the situation tomorrow, which is going to be worse?
Tell me. I'm
It's going to
thinking.
be worse every single day.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're still consuming the oil that was shipped. Okay,
Right.
but if it's closed today and that costs you 100x negative, okay, tomorrow it'll be 105x negative, and the next day it'll be 110x negative. What nobody's talking about that they need to talk about, this is not going to be catastrophic 6 months from now. This is catastrophic right
Right
now,
now,
and
right
nobody's
now.
talking about it. And every single day the Strait of Hormuz is closed, it's going to be worse off. There's more pressure on Saudi Arabia, more pressure on Kuwait, more pressure on UAE, more pressure on Qatar, more pressure on Israel, more pressure on the United States, but there's no pressure on Iran. Iran's got it straight, and they're straight. Beats a boatload of Trumpies. I just made that up. That was pretty good.
I was trying to think about that.
Should I give you some time?
I thought about it enough. I'll think about it more
I
when
thought it
we're
was
done.
pretty good. I mean, for
It
this
was
early
pretty
moment,
funny.
come on, give me some points.
But I'm gaming this out more. How can I disagree with you that the Strait of Hormuz is effectively closed? The world's running out of oil then.
No shit.
So, and I'm curious, why isn't even the oil price even higher, which I think it will be if the world's running
Well,
out of oil.
strange enough, you just hit on something. I listen to lots and lots and lots of people, including people I totally disagree with, because I want to evaluate my thinking. Maybe it's my thinking that's wrong. Everybody I've seen looks at the price of oil, looks at the Strait of Hormuz, and say that doesn't make any sense. The
Yeah.
current price of oil simply does not make sense, and it should be far higher. And in a week or two or three, it will be far higher. Now, let me read some numbers to you. This is true as of yesterday. John Rubino came out with this. Fertilizer is up 20%, rice is up 23%, urea is up 24%, cotton is up 28%, Brent crude is up 50%, diesel is up 50%, gasoline is up 52%, European natural gas is up 54%, heating oil is up 55%. Jet fuel is up 58%. West Texas intermediate crude is up 60%. And sulfur is up 97%. And tomorrow it's going to be worse.
Gosh. So think about the impact on the economy. And I'm not talking just the US economy here. I'm actually talking the European economy. I think that's the biggest loser here, right?
I don't think so. Yes, they're a big loser. The biggest losers can be the Far East, Philippines, Australia, Japan,
They're going to see this impact
Thailand.
in oil.
Yeah. They are out of oil now.
I've heard that.
I believe the EU is in deep, serious trouble. But they were in deep serious trouble before because they're run by metal midgets. And
Yeah.
I think there will be a dozen or more regime changes in the coming future. Now, in 1789, there was one commodity that ran into shortage in Paris that caused the revolution. One commodity caused it.
Cotton,
Wheat.
wheat,
Okay.
food.
You couldn't make food. Okay. You have a revolution. Americans who have been protected because the US dollar being a reserve currency, Americans who have been protected literally for 80 years from real world economics, are having a fit with $5 and $6 gas. And how are they going to feel at $10 gas or $12 gas? And when Trump comes out and says he doesn't pay any attention to the price of fuel in the United States because he's got a war to run, what's going to happen in the midterm elections?
Oh, you get slaughtered. He's
Yeah.
gonna lose.
If you're a Republican, you couldn't be elected dog catcher. So there are things this I lived through 1973. I lived through 1979. I know what those were like. I know what it was like to you could only buy $10 worth of gas. I know you had to stand in line for 2 hours to get fuel. I watched fuel go from $3 a barrel to $12 a barrel. I saw all of that. This is infinitely worse, and nobody is prepared for it. There's a site that I go to that came out a few days ago and said he went to an automobile supply store and wanted to buy diesel oil for his truck, and he wanted to get two or three oil changes, and they were out. And he sent out a warning to all its readers saying, if you need oil for your automobile, you need to go get it right now. Next day, CBS News came out and said the same thing. We could go into crisis mode so quickly. And frankly, we've got a president who says he doesn't worry about it because he's got a war to fight.
Go back to I mean, I'm acknowledging everything you just said, but I want to pull on the string of you just mentioned more regime train change. I couldn't agree more with you. And I think that's happening in the EU. Work that out for me.
I think it's going to happen everywhere. Okay, literally, let me think of a good way to put it. And sometimes I'm really good at this, and sometimes I'm not. You've got a problem that is expanding so rapidly that it goes from serious to critical to ultra dangerous in a very short period of time. Paris was a more or less stable city in 1789. The king was bankrupt because he got involved in the American Revolution. The
Got
Americans
involved in
won the
war.
revolution. Well, exactly, but it bankrupted the monarchy. And when the people in Paris couldn't buy wheat, they revolted. I was in the military. I was in combat. I have seen limits to power. And governments always believe they have unlimited power. And you get the World Economic Forum, and you get the Club of Rome, and you get the oligarchs, you get Donald Trump with all its bimbos flying to China. And they believe they have unlimited power. Where were they in 1789 in Paris? And the fact is, they were sitting there holding their weenie, okay? Because the French fishwives were pissed because they couldn't feed their family. When you can't feed your family, when you can't get to the store because you've got no fuel, and it doesn't make any difference because the crops can't get to the store because they've got no fuel, you got a problem. Okay. And if anybody thinks, well, let's see, I'm starving, I'll go talk to the government and ask them for help. There ain't going to be any help. Okay. This is, I wrote a book called The Art of Peace. Is that on your shelf, Becca? Let's see.
I have
I don't, I don't,
two copies
I
on
don't,
my
I don't,
shelf.
I don't actually see that.
Yeah, it's
Damn.
next to
You, yeah, exactly.
the
God remembers, okay. You're gonna be very careful
Bible.
what you say.
To
God's
all my
got good
viewers and listeners, that was
memory.
a joke. Go ahead, go ahead.
When people can't feed their family, they revolt. Period. So
Yeah.
it could happen in the United States, it could happen in the UK, it could happen in France, it could happen in Germany, it could happen in Thailand. I believe it's gonna happen globally. Okay.
All at
What
once, or
well, it won't be all at once because there are some countries that are in a catastrophe right now, but
yeah.
it's going to be d day after day. Every day things get worse. It's going to get to the point people actually start paying attention to it. And when they pay attention to it, they want a solution. They want a solution now. And they're always going to blame the government. And it's Trump's effort to make him the bride at every wedding is going to make him the guy hanging from the end of a rope. Okay. People are going to be pissed. There is no solution to running out of oil, period. It's not a price issue anymore. It's an availability issue. And every day the Strait of Hormuz is closed, the situation is worse. And frankly, and I think everybody will agree with this, the leadership that we've got in the world, more or less, is pretty useless. I am more impressed by the fractured leadership in Iran, okay? Whoever's running their military over there is doing an incredibly effective job. Israel lies about everything. The United States lies about everything. Iran tells the truth. You go ahead and hit our power stations. You do that, we'll hit your power station. And that's exactly what they've done. This whole lie that they were working on the nuclear weapon is total, absolute bullshit. It was never true. We knew it wasn't true. And the funny thing is, I can prove it logically. They could take out the five desalinization plants in 20 minutes. Why do they need a nuke? They can destroy Israel in 20 minutes, and they haven't done it. They're not trying to destroy Israel. They're trying to protect their country, and they've got all the right in the world to do it. This is a war of aggression. It is the greatest war crime, according to the Nuremberg Tribunal. It is the greatest war crime, is war of aggression from Israel on Iran, and they dragged the United States. The United States is paying for it.
So, where does that lead us? And again, knowing full well what we just talked about, that things change every 3 to 5 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. Where does that leave us now going through to the summer? I mean, are you your
Well,
expectation is we're going to have really high oil. We should have really high oil now, or maybe we don't have a high oil price. Maybe we're just out because it's being the price is being suppressed artificially, and now we're out. Is that your
when it's
expectation?
the transition to the summer driving season, when does that start?
Memorial Day, which is
Thank
next
you.
week. Yep,
Right.
I'll be
If
out of
you
town.
want.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to find out what's going to happen, go down to Kmart, get a fishing rod, buy some worms, go down, pick up some fish, catch a fish, put him on the ground, watch him dance. When he ends up dancing, you know exactly what's going on. I
Yeah.
don't know. I mean, this is, I was in a war. I had some idea from one day to the next exactly what we were going to do. Okay, that doesn't mean I agreed with it. Okay, it was a stupid war, just like all of them are.
All wars are
But
stupid, it seems like.
I've never seen anything as convoluted as this, where you literally don't know from one minute to the next minute who's doing what to whom.
Yeah. No, it's hard to wrap. It's been hard. It has been hard to wrap my mind around all of this. As much as I think about it, and like you, I spend a lot of time in it, just looking at even just the benefits, potential benefits. I can't see any benefits. I
Actually,
mean,
there's a big benefit. There's a giant benefit. And I'm glad you brought that up because I hadn't mentioned that. If the United States was forced out of the Middle East for the first time in 50 years,
huge benefit. Huge.
we would have peace in the Middle East for the first time in 80 years. The
Hallelujah.
United States is the burr under the saddle. And the criminal government, the war criminals, the monsters running Israel are pulling Donald Trump's strings. And if he wakes up to the damage that he's done to the world and he tells them to take a fly and leap, Israel hid their crimes effectively for 80 years. Okay. Most people are totally unaware of them. They don't even try to hide it anymore. When an Israeli soldier is charged with rape, he gets let off on a technicality and he becomes a TV star. And you get ministers of the government saying, why shouldn't we rape them? And yet the New York Times coming out and saying, oh, by the way, we have documented 12 examples of rape of both females and males by the IDF of Palestinian prisoners. And you got Bibi Netanyahu coming out saying, you can't say that. You can't say that. That's terrible. That's a blood libel. Well, no, it's the truth. And anybody who supports the IDF and anybody who supports Bibi Netanyahu and anybody who supports Israel is supporting war criminals. And I happen to not be one of them.
Yeah. Well, myself included, I stand with you on that. Talk a little bit about the price of gold and price of silver with all of this. I mean, gold was ripping last year. It's taken a break. Same with silver. How do the metals, the precious metals, I know what you're going to say, but I want you to answer it anyway. How do the metal sectors, what's your opinion on that going through all of this?
Okay, let me give you a test.
Okay.
What am I gonna say?
It's going to be funny, and
Nah, you know
it's
what
going
I'm
to be a
gonna say, because
question.
I've said it 600 times in the past. Gold and silver, the price of gold and silver are insurance policies against financial chaos. And anybody who doesn't see financial chaos right now is not paying attention. We've
Right.
had the Japanese carry trade blow up. We've had the Japanese bond market blow up. The United States bond market is in the process of blowing up. Prime credit or private credit has blown up. The Dow and the Nasdaq are at record highs. One of the indexes, and I should be able to identify it, but I can't. One of the indexes was up 18 days in a row. It set a new high. And in March of 2000, the Nasdaq was only up 19 days in a row. So we've got this bowl of jello floating around, wobbling like crazy. What's going to happen next? Nobody knows. Okay. However, for those who have some gold and silver, they've got an insurance policy against chaos. You pretty much said it accurately. Gold and silver shot higher. Platinum shot higher. Copper shot higher. Copper was, I think, $6.45 a few days ago, a new high. Those all suggest financial chaos is coming very, very soon. And frankly, I happen to agree. And I was buying gold under $300 and silver under $4.50. So I'm not particularly concerned.
Right. So same here. What's interesting to me too is you had this good sell-off in the mining shares in I'd say late January through March. It really crashed in March, and that's a good thing if you want to accumulate mining shares. But you're seeing this weird, I say weird, where the commodity itself is high, and these stocks are significantly lower. They haven't tracked it. Are these valuations? And I know you look at your, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You look at sentiment, and sentiment is right now. I wouldn't say it's negative, but it's right now in mining shares.
It's actually worse than that. It's like the price of oil. There is a dichotomy. There is a split between what the price of oil appears to be and what it should be. Likewise, with gold and silver, the mining shares do not reflect the increase in the price of gold and silver. Silver got up to $121 and gold was well above 5,000. Even with the correction, which have been perfectly normal corrections, the price of shares has not reflected. But I think they're going to, and frankly, I'm trying to think of who it is. Rick Rule, I think, came out and I saw a chart and it looked like resource stocks ETFs were 1.5% of the total value of stock market ETFs, which is tiny. It should be 8%, should be 10%. I believe that fortunes are going to be made in resource stocks. Now, in 1922 and 1923 in Germany, the stock market went up, okay, just because the value of the currency was deflating or inflating doesn't mean the stock market doesn't go up. But at the same time, the farmers couldn't pay for fuel to get to town, so people starved. I'm trying to think who it is. I've read so many different people lately, it's hard for me to keep track of, but somebody actually came out and said, in the worst case situation, if the Strait of Hormuz is closed for 4 to 6 months, we could be talking about a billion people dying. That's how
Oh, gosh.
catastrophic the potential is. I'm not predicting it's going to happen. That's the potential. We need to end this war. We need to end it in a rational way. We need to get off the back of Iran, and we need to recognize the new world order just changed, and America's position in that new world order is not what they had planned on.
No, I would agree. Well, Bob, I think we'll end on that. As always, it's great talk. Sobering. That's what I would say. Sobering talk, but a real talk, and that I appreciate. So, yeah, I'd love to get you on again here soon in the next few weeks, and we won't make it a few months like it was last time.
Well, the strange thing is, we may not have the option of a few months.
Don't say that.
I do seriously want everyone to understand not what is going to happen, but what could happen. And everyone should be contacting and educating themselves and contacting their leaders and saying, end this war now, before it becomes a total disaster. It has the potential for destroying the world's economy. And for what? Because Israel wants more land? That's bullshit.
Well said, and couldn't agree more. Bob Moriarty, 321 Gold. Thank you so much, my friend.